Hey everyone, welcome into another edition of the Woj Pod. Here in Bristol today at ESPN Studios with the great Jalen Rose, we talk about his transition from a playing career into broadcasting, about being remembered after playing over a decade in the NBA for largely being part of Michigan's Fab Five, and we hit on a lot in the league, everything from the dysfunction in Cleveland, Paul George's future in Oklahoma City, and a lot more. Great visit with Jalen Rose. Let's get right to it. Here with Jalen Rose, we're holed up in the makeup room here off the SportsCenter set. Jay, thanks for doing this, man.
My pleasure. You're the best in the business, a highly trained professional doing the podcast on the fly. I'm taking notes.
Yeah, like hopefully the machine keeps working. I watched the little red dots there, but it looks like it is. Hey, I want to get into some stuff in the league and what's going on. Here's a question I've never asked you. I'm always curious about with you. So many guys who at the end of their career, it takes time to figure out what you want to do, what you'll be good at, how much you want to invest in it. It always looked to me like you just went seamlessly out of your career into this world. Did it come as easily as it looks like it did to me, to others?
Communications was my major in college, radio, TV, film. And I guess I'm one of the lucky people in this country that actually has a job in what they majored in school, which normally doesn't go hand in hand. I was always someone growing up in a room full of people playing John Madden football on a couple of TVs on NBA Live or NBA Jam. It's one thing when you lose, but you're not going to sit on the side and pick your nose. You have to commentate the next game. So I was kind of getting practice growing up constantly and playing for the Pacers. Those almost 6 years, we were on really good teams, going to playoffs, going to the NBA Finals. I got traded 2002 to the Chicago Bulls in February. They had 9 wins. I'm like, oh, we're not going to the playoffs this year. I immediately got on the phone with a contact I had at BET Matt Sports and asked them, can I cover the NBA Finals for you guys? And to show you how long ago that was, it was the Lakers and New Jersey Nets. Playing in the finals. All you guys have to do, I was just like you, all you guys have to do is send the camera. I'll get the access. We cut it and spiced it. They played it. They liked it. I then took that footage and pitched the exact same idea to the best damn sports show at Fox. They liked it. They used me. So from 2002-3 to 2007, I was in the league at one point in time averaging 20 points, but still working in the media when the postseason happened. So I was working with ABC, did a lot of work with Snapper, rest in peace, and obviously Bill Walton. Worked with MTV Movie Awards, NFL Network when it came to be, top-ranked boxing, and worked with Cold Pizza before it became First Take. So I was moonlighting with all of these different entities, and then when I retired in 2007, I got hired full-time for ESPN.
A hard work day as a player, like putting in really hard extra work. You go practice, you might put in some individual work. And there's a lot of preparation that goes into it that people don't see. But is there still a transition from what is a long day as a player versus what is a long day in this business?
Absolutely, because playing is physical. This job is mental. And playing, you understand when you're fatigued. In this, you learn when you're fatigued. And I was always someone, even doing sideline for TNT before I came to ESPN, learning from people like Doug Collins, and I have so many mentors in this game, that the transition for me was understanding that you have to have multiple efforts. So working for ESPN, there was a period of time where I was doing Numbers Never Lie, which is a Monday through Friday show, flying on Thursday night to do College Game Day in whatever city that was, Friday, Saturday, flying after the show Saturday to Los Angeles to do Countdown on Sunday. So I understood the long days were going to happen. One of the main shows I worked on initially was NBA Tonight. Guess what time that came on? At 2 a.m. So the games happen at 7, and then the West Coast games come on at 10, 10:30, but our meeting was at 5 p.m. So I was built into learning you needed to be at work at 5. You're not going to get off at 2. And then I got used to that, Woj. And before you know it, I was getting off work at 2 a.m., hosting Mike and Mike at 6 a.m. I was the first person in the building that was doing double shifts to the point where they made it to where there's an early shift for the analyst and a late shift because I was actually doing both. But it helped propel me in the building.
If I could allow you to go back in time and pick one season with one team to go back to, would it be Detroit Southwestern High School? Would it be at Michigan? Would it be one of your years in the NBA? If you said, I'd like to go back with that group at that point in time and just run it back with them, where would it be?
It has to be Michigan in the Fab Five, no doubt about it. I should be sitting here talking about the fact we at least won one championship. I wish we could run back our sophomore season, in particular, the game versus Carolina. I give them all of the credit. By no means am I still sour about a basketball game we lost 25 years ago. But at the same time, that was a terrific opportunity that we let get away from us in a lot of ways. And people are going to look back at the end of the game where C. Webb got away with a travel and he called timeout. But the one thing about being a brotherhood and being a family, all of us sat in the locker room after the game, or should have, and thought about what we could have done better. And for me, I felt like I had my worst game of the season in the national championship game. So that's the team, that group, Ray Jackson, Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, and obviously Jimmy King, that I wish I could play another day with and get Steve Fisher a second championship, because he'd definitely be in the Hall of Fame at that point.
For someone who played in the NBA for 13, 14 years like you did, I think players now, you can easily forget where they went because they're in and out so quick. You know, guys are, this is a Kentucky guy, that's a Duke guy, but your memories of them in college are kind of fuzzy because if they're one and done, you're through it fast. You might be one of the last generations or groups of players who, I would imagine, when people want to come talk to you about your career, they probably talk to you as much about Michigan as they do Indiana, Denver, Chicago. Is that the case?
Absolutely. And the unique thing about my experience is that group and being a part of that team allowed us to be trailblazers in multiple ways. So people understand that we were trendsetters in our own right. We weren't the first team to wear long shorts. I looked up to the John Thompson, Georgetown teams and the UNLV teams. Anderson Hunt, who was the Final Four MVP playing with Stacey Augmon and Larry Johnson and Greg Anthony, actually went to Detroit Southwestern. And I remember they were playing against Duke. I was in his basement in Southwest Detroit watching the game head to toe with UNLV gear, and I cried when they lost to Duke, not knowing that I'd be playing against them the next year in the NCAA finals. And to your point, this is when players value the collegiate experience. So now if you're in school maybe 3 years, people look at you like there's a flaw to your game based on the fact that there have been so many players to come out right after high school and have success and are one and done prospects. So that made our college experience really unique.
You just said it. If you're there 3 years, there is a pressure to leave. You are seen by your peers or by people, you're seen as a failure if you're not out quick. Even when you may not feel ready, that the longer you stay, that there's something wrong with you. And I feel for kids, because I think there are kids who just go because they feel like they're supposed to go. And I always say, like, I was just at the G League Showcase up in Toronto, and I always say, like, I wish they would take those USA basketball, like the 17 and under, the 18 and under, all the best players in the country, that they would take them up to that and show them the roster and say, you see that guy over there? He was the number six high school player in the country, 13th pick in the draft. He was you, two-time conference player of the year. And the fine line, and here he is in an empty gym in Toronto, getting ready to get on a Southwest flight to go play a game in Fort Wayne a few days later. Everyone talks about college basketball, and it's not this and it's not that. I know it's this. Packed arenas, television, five-star hotels, charter flights. Most rookies are going to spend a lot of time in the G League. And I don't know. I just think that's been lost on guys, that there's a pressure. Like, in a different era, all you guys would have left after 1 year, right? That didn't happen with your group.
Correct. Right. And also what you just described is high-level competitive players, when you pick a school, there's a showmanship there. We're airing where the top players go play football. We're airing where the top high school players go play college basketball. So now it's not just an expectation of the player that I'm going to be a one and done. It's the expectation of everyone around you. And then when you go to a school like a Duke, like a Kentucky, you kind of need to be ready to go after 1 or 2 years because they're recruiting the next version of yourself.
That's right. They're recruiting right up your back.
And so you now have that pressure to enter the draft, even if you're not ready. But for those young people, I cannot tell you how much the collegiate experience is so very valuable. Do I think players should be able to leave high school and enter the draft? Absolutely. 100%. I believe that they should, but I won't lie to you and say this. Now that players are going to college, if you notice, players that are first-year players, that are second-year players, look at this year's class. Look at Tatum and Mitchell and so many – and look at Ben Simmons, who's a red shirt rookie. They're actually performing better because of that level of experience that they were able to get in college. So they're further along with their ability to come in and contribute immediately.
Yeah, because I think there's two issues with – college basketball. There's one, and it's separate to me. Should guys be paid? Of course they should be paid. Should they get a piece of this pie? Absolutely. But that's separate from the fact that there is some value to some guys can handle being in the league, going through the G League, that experience as a teenager. Some guys can't, and there's shorter schedule in college. You're protected. Again, when you're a young player going into the pros, having to play against men, you're still, there's a adjustment period. I just think they're two different arguments and they get muddled sometimes where it's like, well, this guy should just leave. He's doing right. Just get out of there. Get out of there. But that's not right for everybody.
And also what we're conditioned in this reality show based society is that money can buy love. It can't. And fame can't buy happiness. And usually, sometimes people are chasing their dream because they're really good at a sport or at entertainment, but they're not looking. There's two separate things that should be they should be focused on. There's the score of the game, then there's the game of life. And at 18, 19, 20 years old, you don't know anything. We all were at that age and felt like we knew it all. You don't know anything. And as you start to get older, it's truly about putting yourself in position to have staying power. That's the most important thing. There are 4,000 people approximately walking this earth or not walking it anymore, rest in peace, that have played in the NBA. That's a very small number in the history of the game. And you just talked about it. You may come out early or you may get a cup of coffee with a team. That doesn't mean you're going to last long because the staying power for an NBA player is only about 3 years.
Guys, let me tell you about Mattress Firm. Let's keep the ball rolling. The base for my argument is simple. Your bed budget can go further when you're shopping at America's Neighborhood Mattress Store. It's a true home run, and you'll have a ball. They're the head coaches when it comes to mattress expertise. But know this, they are more than just mattress experts. They have a game plan that helps you transform your mattress into a bed. From adjustable bases and sheets to headboards and bedroom decor, they have you literally and figuratively covered up like your favorite cornerback. Go to mattressfirm.com/podcast to see what deals are happening as I read this sentence to you. They even offer you a 120-night sleep trial to ensure perfection and a 100-night low price guarantee so you know that you paid the perfect price. Talk about a 1-2 punch. A knockout, if you will. Score big with a perfect bed. Head to mattressfirm.com/podcast to get the play-by-play on how you can monumentally improve your sleep today, tonight, and tomorrow.
Support for the Woj Pod comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family. That's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And in addition to getting a real mortgage approval in minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time and make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/woj. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. How much bigger of a player, how much bigger of a footprint would you have had in the league if you played in the social media era?
You
would have dominated it.
I think this would have been an era for me to actually propel my personal dreams and goals growing up. The humbling thing that happened to me in my life, and I'm so very glad it happened, is that I looked in the mirror one day when I was in Denver, and I was like, you're no Magic Johnson. I actually said that to myself. Like, this is somebody I grew up idolizing, tall point guard, having the charisma, looking after him and Isaiah Thomas. I just mimicked everything they did because I idolized them. And then all of a sudden, when you have that growth of awareness, it allowed me to settle in to be the best version of myself. And just look at the name Jalen. It's something that's common. I'm watching the NFL playoffs. There's a Jalen Ramsey talking for the Jaguars. There's a Jalen Mills with green hair playing for Philadelphia. I'm covering the draft last year. The Boston Celtics draft somebody named Jaylen Brown. People don't realize my mom made that name up. My biological father was the number one pick in the 1967 NBA draft. His name was Jimmy Walker. His real name was James. He wasn't there when she gave birth. My Uncle Leonard rushed to her aid to take her to the hospital. She combined the two names. That's where Jalen came from. So you hear a lot of Jalens that are walking the earth. Here's what you have not heard of. A Jalen Rose Jr. That is not taking place because I was the first one.
Talking about what's going on in Cleveland right now, you know, I'd reported yesterday about a team meeting. First of all, in your experience, do team meetings typically, do guys usually walk out of there regretting that they even did it in the first place?
You're going to love this, Woj. Here's what happens in team meetings. Usually they're only with the players, and all the players do is complain about each other initially, and then you know what it turns into? They complain about the coach and the management because they're not in the room.
Right.
The unique thing about the Cleveland situation, as you reported, they were in the room. So when that happens, it's a high elite level of dysfunction that the Cleveland Cavaliers only should blame themselves for this. You can look back at any time I got interviewed about this topic. Why do you trade Kyrie Irving with 2 years remaining on his deal, knowing that LeBron James has only 1 year remaining on his deal? It's staggered right for you. You allow this season to play out. I know he said he wanted to get traded. So? I know he didn't want to play with LeBron James. So? You allow this year to play out. You get to the finals, and whatever happens, LeBron James leaves. Now you go to Kyrie. This is your team. Then if you decide into next season he's not going to re-sign, now everything is laid out for you to make a quality move for him. They acted too fast. And now that they've acted so fast, a person that LeBron won a championship with in Cleveland, like Kyrie, he's not going to win a championship with Isaiah Thomas. It's not going to happen. And the way this team is looking, they won't even make it out of the Eastern Conference. That's the level of dysfunction. And another thing I need to say, have you seen Tristan Thompson since he started dating the Kardashian? I haven't. Here's a guy that, by the way, when you look at Tristan Shumpert and J.R. Smith, they're getting paid a grand total of $179 million American dollars to play basketball. That doesn't matter in baseball or in golf, but in a salary cap driven sport, you need the guys that are playing for you, that you're paying high salaries, to actually be productive players. And here's what also happens in a locker room. You go from seeing a blue collar player like him. And by the way, I support him and Chloe as a power couple. I know they have a baby on the way. I'm not saying run as a person that grew up without a dad. So I'm going to put that out there right now. But what I will say is you see a guy that goes from showing up at work with his lunch pail to now he's wearing shades and he's posting on IG pregame. He goes up from wearing Timberland boots with that mentality to a game, to showing up wearing Gucci first slides to the game. Players on your team are like, oh, I got it now. He's a different person, which now makes him a different player. So for the Cavs, the only way they can now get some value is to trade Kevin Love. He's the only valuable asset they have besides LeBron James. And obviously Isaiah Thomas is coming back from a hip injury.
Their identity, and you just said it with Tristan Thompson, I mean, a lot of their identity was rooted in him on the offensive boards, kept balls alive. You think of how many big spots in a postseason where he kept possessions alive, and then certainly on the defensive end and rebounding, and they have to have that from him. And you, like you said, you go down the group there, and, you know, you look at in Miami, LeBron's last year there, and it fell apart down the stretch. And by the time they got to the finals, the Spurs just took them apart, and they felt there that like it was the end was coming. Looking back, I think when it was happening, they were less sure. When the people in Miami look back now, they say, yeah, the signs were there that he was going to leave. And I think that was part of what Kyrie did last summer, which was, I'm not going to let LeBron's future dictate my future, that a lot of people in this league are put in a position where they have to wait on him. Well, I'm beating him to the punch, and I'm pushing my way out first, because I don't want to be left with a team that doesn't fit around me. I don't want to be left with Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, because if you're going to build around me, you're going to play a little faster. I'm not built for that. And like you said, to his credit, he got them to do the trade. And I think that's where LeBron is a little bit stuck now, is the best chance he had to win, of course, was keeping him there. And maybe there's a way they still could get to the finals. And I think Toronto is much better.
They are.
They're young guys. They've done such a good job with the Raptors of building their bench through drafting well. And OG Anunoby from Indiana, you know, he was coming off an ACL injury last year. And I'd seen him play a lot with Tom Crean and seen him in practice, and would not have imagined him as being a starter on an elite, a very, very good NBA team. But those guys have gotten better. And I think DeRozan has gone to another level. And now I think the load on Kyle, you always kind of felt Kyle Lowry had to carry such a load in the playoffs. Like, offensively, I think there's going to be less asked to Kyle in big spots, and DeMar can take on more. No one's talking about the Raptors, and Boston they've hit a rough patch here, but I think they're deep, and I think DeRozan is a legit, he's gone to another level as a star in this player, and I don't think we're talking enough about how good that Toronto team is.
I'm rolling with you. And the thing about DeRozan, he improved his three-point shot. That really unlocked his game. He was somebody that was getting 20, 25 points a game, all mid-range, driving to the basket and getting to the free throw line. Now that he's able to shoot the three, it opens it up for their front court to actually be productive. Serge Ibaka and Valanciunas can do what they do. Valanciunas, I always look at the stat sheet. If he's hovering around 10 boards, getting a couple of blocks, they're a different team. Same with Serge Ibaka. Is he shooting more threes than he's shooting free throws? That's what I watch for from their upfront players. And Kyle Lowry just had 40 points recently. And the thing I noticed about him, he's in better shape. And so based on that and the balance of their roster, they can be a team, as you mentioned, to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. And by the way this team looks, there should be a couple of teams in the East that will beat this Cleveland Cavaliers team. So I know you're going to be reporting it, so I'll just say this right now. There's no way they limp to the trade deadline looking the way they look right now. They have to have a major shakeup.
They do, but also they're not one player away from anything.
They're not.
And unless, like, Paul George, yes, well, he's not available, and I don't believe he's going to be available. That's the one player that I know Cleveland would use that Brooklyn pick on. Even then, though, if they felt like George, he would have a chance, he would stay, that LeBron would want to stay. I don't think they want Paul George as just a rental who's going to walk, and then LeBron walks, and they've given the pickup for 7 or 8 weeks. But I just think Cleveland is going to be very careful to not feel like they double down on this, give up more assets, or take on another bad contract. I think the George Hill, they've talked with Sack about George Hill. His $19 million next year is a red flag for Cleveland, because they feel like if LeBron leaves, we're not getting that money off. And so do we want to pay him? Does he make that big of a difference for us? And, you know, you're a GM. Let's say you're a GM in the East, and, you know, let's say Cleveland, Milwaukee, Washington, who hasn't really jumped in on DeAndre Jordan. Do you see DeAndre Jordan as a difference maker? Does DeAndre Jordan put you over the top in the East?
No.
Right.
He does not.
And that's the answer I think those guys have right now. No. Hey, everyone. I'm Adrian Wojnarowski, host of the Woj Pod, and I have used for most of my adult life Gillette razors. I've gone from the Fusion 5 replaceable razors, the disposable Gillette razors, and there is a consistency to the blades, to the closeness of the shave, and to the comfort that's second to none. I've always been a sucker for a great story, and there's no better story than the story of Gillette. Over 1,000 craftsmen and women in Boston busy making your blades, while another team is putting your blades through more than 60 strict and precise quality checks. If the blade fails just one of those tests, it doesn't leave the factory. And now, best of all, you can get Gillette Performance delivered to your door. Forget forgetting to buy blades. Subscribe today and get every fourth order free. Visit Gillette online at www.gilletteondemand.com. That's www.gilletteondemand.com. Gillette, the best a man can get.
The great thing people can't underestimate when they talk about trades is that that guy is still playing for another team. Right now, DeAndre is actually playing for the Clippers, and he hasn't been that guy to help them get over the top. Remember when they were eye to eye with the Golden State Warriors, and all of a sudden the Golden State Warriors just took off, and the now the Clippers have become such a memory. Chris Paul leaves for Houston. They double down on Blake Griffin, and rightfully so. They have to pay him $170 million. They beg DeAndre to stay. Now they're looking to trade him. While a productive player, he's going to get you blocks. He's going to get you boards. He's going to get you activity. I like Will Biggs, Capella, DeAndre Jordan. Tristan Thompson used to be in that vein, if you can't have a skill big. But they're not going to put you over the top against the Rockets or the Golden State Warriors. And as your question, in the East, it doesn't put you over the top because none of those teams are one player away from really making a difference. And also, if you're Paul George, and you brought this up, so I want to go back to this, you better not leave OKC. I know he's going to be a free agent this summer. You cannot leave playing with Russell Westbrook. Why would you do that?
Here's the hard part of going to the Lakers and being seen as the savior. The measure of success is only one thing. It's championships. If you want to be worthy, if you want to be, because that's who they're measuring you against. Oklahoma City, they're measuring you against. Toronto, Kyle Lowry and DeMar are measured against a pretty modest history of success. You go to the Lakers, you're judged on one thing, winning titles. And they are not in position to be even close to that. And no matter how well Paul plays there, you do wonder, there's going to be more of expected of him than he's not coming in. They're not going to become, even if he and LeBron both went there, they'd be really, really good. Would they be the favorite? I don't think so.
No.
No, they wouldn't, right? And so you're right. And it'll be interesting to see if even with Paul George, if it opens up, we just really kept talking about Oklahoma City and LA. But I do wonder if the Paul George free agency will open up beyond that. Philadelphia has a max scholarship to give right there. And you plug in, now you're in the East. You look at that young group, you have a chance. If a forward goes into Philly, you've got a team that's going to be knocking at the door in the East for years to come versus going West. And I'm not saying that he's interested in that, but I just think free agency tends to open up more. It doesn't close down as you get closer to July 1. It tends to open up and guys start looking around more. And I'll be interested to see if Paul approaches it that way.
I agree with you on the Lakers and their 16 championships. That's what you're playing against if you Paul George versus staying in OKC and being a part of one of the most dynamic backcourts in the game in Russell Westbrook running with him. Also, other names that continue to come up, what's going to happen with Boogie Cousins in free agency? Is Anthony Davis available? To me, they should continue to play with one another. They're the only tandem in the history of the league to average 25 and 10.
It's worked. And I spent some time with Anthony Davis last month, and we talked about when they first got together. And he said to me, like, we were confused. We didn't know how to play with one another. It took us a while to figure it out. Drew Holiday was the one who really struggled last year because he was deferring so much to those two. His game changed. And you look at every night. You saw it last night when Boogie goes on a historic night. You know, Anthony's jumping into his arms after the game. And then when Anthony goes for 50 and 15, or let's see, first player since like Will and Elgin to go for 45 and 15 on back-to-back nights, Boogie, that has worked better than I thought it would.
Absolutely. And to me, here's what New Orleans did that was brilliant that no one talks about. They acquired Boogie for a bag of chips. You remember when the Sacramento Kings owner came out and said Buddy Hield was going to be the next Steph Curry?
He loved Buddy Hield. No, he loved Buddy Hield, and
He got Buddy Hield.
Absolutely. So now, if Boogie leaves, AD is already on a long-term deal. If you're management, you can look at AD and say, your man left you. Not the other way around. And you brought up Philly. Here's something I want to say. I love Joel Embiid, his personality, his game. When he got drafted, people looked at me like I had two heads when I compared him to Hakeem Olajuwon. I talked about his footwork, his ability to block shots. I was doing College Game Day, got a chance to go to Kansas a couple of times while he still was in college. And Bill Self told me then, this is going to be the best player I've ever coached, one of the best players in the league. So I've always been beating the Embiid bandwagon. And I agree. Don't holler at Rihanna right now. You know what I mean? She didn't want to get with you before you became an all-star. And I love Ben Simmons, a triple-double threat. And both of those guys are going to be perennial all-stars and terrific players. But I'm not like everybody else that actually believes that their team is built to be the future. And here's why. When your best players have distinct flaws, it's hard to overcome them. Ben Simmons will have to get a semblance of a jump shot. I actually think he's shooting with the wrong hand. When you see him driving to the basket, if it's a breakaway dunk, he's going to use his right hand. But when he goes to the free throw line, shooting with his left hand. I just think that dynamic is off. And Joel Embiid has rarely yet to play back-to-back games. And so if you're Paul George, you can't go run with them. I like Covington. You could debate whether you would have given him $70 million to play the wing. But when you give him that money, you're saying that this is our KD. This is our Kawhi. This is our LeBron that we want to play the wing moving forward. And in a salary cap driven sport, you paid him. You're going to have to pay the two big fellas. They won't really have the funding to build out their roster based on what I just said. So it's going to be interesting to see how that situation plays out. And one other thing about the process. We don't talk about them swinging and missing these last couple of years. Michael Carter Williams, Nerlens Noel, Okafor. Those were swings and misses. Oh, by the way, did they trade up to get the number one pick this year? Markelle Fultz? Imagine had the Sixers taken Tatum or Mitchell or Dennis Smith Jr. or Markkanen. Well, that's a real process.
Brett Brown imagines it. Like he does. Jalen, I'll let you get out of here. You have about 15 jobs here. I know you're on to the next one.
You're the only person I see on TV more than me now.
I appreciate it.
And doing a great job.
All right, thanks. Thank you, man. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Woj Pod. A big thank you to my guest today in Bristol, Jalen Rose. Remember, you can subscribe and listen to new and archived episodes of this podcast wherever you get your shows. You can find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to your pods. And thanks to today's sponsors, Gillette and Mattress Firm. Be sure to support them the way they support us here at the Woj Pod. We'll catch you next time.